Куплю булку хліба і пачку мармеладу. Прощавайте, друзі, я йду в Канаду.
Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера.
Сидить в Штатах Кока-Колу.
Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера.
А мама доляри, купив тато мамі чорні окуляри.
Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера.
Лягали спати, луплять по Берліну.
Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера.
Остаюсь в Канаді.
Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера. Гоп, стоп, Канада, старих баб не надо, молодих давайте, а ви, хлопці, грайте. Гоп, стоп, Європа, дітка хоче хлопа, а стара халера хоче кавалера.
Was a song by a group from Ukraine called Susida, which means neighbors, and it is a title track of a CD, Hop Stop Canada, a song about immigrating to Canada. Добрий день і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павіна Макуарі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-Macquarie, по-українське Павліна, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage as well. We've got the latest news from Ukraine and also a commentary, pretty much 10 questions that will tell you all you need to know about the conflict in Ukraine. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a Canadian duo, two sisters from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Actually, one now lives in Montreal, one's in Winnipeg, and they still get together and do music. This is from their most recent CD. It was recorded a couple of years ago. It is called Do Milої Зустрічі, which means Till We Meet Again. And this song is called Іванку, Іванку, Oh Johnny.
Ivo,
Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baeger. A fascinating new book, just published by Stanford University Press, tackles the controversial legacy of a man in the shadows of history, Bogdan Khmelnytsky, a leader of the Ukrainian Cossacks in the 17th century. Stories of Khmelnytsky, sponsored in part by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, features provocative essays by distinguished scholars from throughout North America, Europe, and Israel. Edited and introduced by Amelia Glazer, Associate Professor of Russian and Comparative Literature at the University of California, San Diego, the book's 12 engaging chapters explore the highly contested memory of the man. In brief, Khmelnytsky led a successful revolt against Polish rule in 1648, a bloody revolt that included the destruction of Jewish communities. The revolt was a major trauma in the collective memory of the Jewish people, a trauma recounted in centuries of highly evocative Jewish writings. The revolt established Ukrainian independence and the Cossacks as key players in the geopolitics of the day. And for this, Khmelnytsky was hailed as a national hero. However, for many Ukrainians, Khmelnytsky's legacy is tarnished by his subsequent treaty with Moscow, which ultimately condemned Ukraine to centuries of Russian rule. The book carefully addresses, without attempting to resolve, the fundamental questions Khmelnytsky's image provokes. How can drastically different mythologies surround this one figure? What do the competing versions of memory and history around Khmelnytsky mean for our understanding of the past, present, and future of the nations of Eastern Europe? Khmelnytsky, viewed as hero or villain, bolstered national solidarity not only among Ukrainians. His 1648 revolt offered the seeds of a founding myth for other nations. The book offers a surprising account of the little-known positive images of the Ukrainian Cossack struggle for independence among some early Jewish radical Zionists. Israel Bartel, professor of Jewish history at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, outlines how the Cossack warrior served as a model for the new Jewish pioneer building a new homeland in early 20th century Palestine. Bartel traces how the frightening enemy of the Jews in 17th century Ukraine had been transformed by some Jewish writers into an ideal example of heroism, simple rural life, and unlimited national commitment. Taras Koznarski, associate professor in the Department of Slavic Languages and Literature at the University of Toronto, takes up in his essay the additional multiple identities of Khmelnytsky. Khmelnytsky was seen as a hero, adventurer, statesman, politician, vehicle of divine grace, focus of collective imagination, and central to Ukrainian historical memory. And he also inspired some lavish costume drama films, films that reflected the national and political imperatives of their sponsors. Amid the swirl of contradictory legends, perhaps the last word can be given to Judith Deutsch Kornblatt, professor emerita and former chair of Slavic Languages and Literature at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. In her astute afterword in the book, Professor Kornblatt wisely notes that this volume of Khmelnytsky drives home the fact that history itself is not made up of facts, but of stories. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Що брат, але насправді це кат. Гинуть брати в тім АТО. Господи Боже, за що? Щиро тайком помолюсь, сміло за зброю візьмусь. Руч Україну кати, мусим її вберегти. Бережу, я клянусь, відпустіть, повернусь, відпустіть, повернусь, бережу, я матусю не плач, прошу дружину пробач, діток я прошу простіть, хто ж, як не я, захисти. Знаю, вам біль завдаю, знаю вже й долю свою, та Україну святу дітям своїм збережу. Бережу, я клянусь, відпустіть, повернусь, відпустіть, повернусь, бережу, я клянусь.
There are many, many songs nowadays being recorded by soldiers in the field. Many of them are accomplished musicians, and they are fighting for their very lives and livelihoods of themselves, their family, and their future. And it's just something that they do, and they share it on YouTube, and that is one of the songs. I've got no byline or credits taken for that, just simply a song about ATO, the anti-terrorist organization fighting Russian aggression in eastern Ukraine. And the title of the song is Vbereju, and that is, in one word, it doesn't really translate well, because it just means like saves, but it encompasses everything that these men and women are doing. They're protecting, they're saving their way of life that they've fought so hard for, the little progress that they've made towards democracy. They're fighting just so hard to hang on to that. And these people are protecting what they've achieved so far, what they've got. They're guarding them, they're protecting them, they're saving them. Of Berju, it is an absolutely loaded term. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Three Ukrainian soldiers have died, five were wounded in the clashes with their Russian-backed separatist forces. They shelled the positions of the Ukrainian army more than 70 times in the last 24 hours. The most intense shooting took place near Donetsk and Mariupol. Kyiv reports the militants continue to use artillery officially prohibited by the Minsk agreement. Another night of heavy shelling in eastern Ukraine. The hottest points overnight were Zaitseva, Mariinka, and Avdiivka. The shelling was fixated along the front line in the area near Mariupol and Shasta in the Luhansk region. In the past 24 hours, Russian-backed separatist forces shelled Ukrainian positions from large-caliber mortar weapons, all forbidden under the Minsk agreement. 46 shellings over the past 24 hours. Russian-backed separatist forces continue to fire along the front line from Shirokina to Stednitsa Luhanska. According to the military press service, the shellings were from heavy artillery banned under the Minsk agreement. A town of Avdiivka remains one of the hottest points. No injuries were reported overnight. Two volunteers have been hit by enemy fire in the Donetsk region. The couple was hit during the shelling by Russian separatist forces near a village of Piske. Local police say the volunteers were on the way to another village in the region. That's when they were hit by mortar fire. The victims are both from Kyiv region in their mid-30s. Authorities say they are in stable condition. One border service official has been wounded in shelling in the Luhansk region. The Russian-backed separatist forces opened fire on the checkpoint in Stanitsa, Luhansk. In total, there were about 79 shelling incidents on the front line in the past 24 hours. The highest concentration was near the town of Avdiivka. According to the military press office, the Russian-backed separatist forces used heavy artillery forbidden under the Minsk agreement. Nadiya Savchenko's release was the key topic of conversation between Ukrainian and Russian presidents. Petro Poroshenko says Vladimir Putin agreed to let the Ukrainian consul to immediately see Savchenko. Also, the destiny of Russian servicemen convicted in Ukraine was discussed. At this point, the two soldiers are the most likely candidates to be exchanged for Savchenko. Ukrainian pilot Nadiya Savchenko was illegally detained and subsequently sentenced in Russia to 22 years in prison. In protest, she announced a full hunger strike, which caused her health condition to gravely deteriorate. Ukraine is ready to exchange at least 50 suspected separatists for the 25 Ukrainians held in captivity of the Russian-backed separatist forces. According to Irina Harashchenko, the first deputy chairwoman of the Ukrainian parliament, Ukraine put forth the initiative to exchange the captives ahead of Easter. Now, she says, the Ukrainian side awaits an answer from the self-proclaimed leaders of the occupied territories of Donetsk and Luhansk regions. Overall, the Minsk talks went off without any special results, aside from the OSCE noting a large number of ceasefire violations. Russian soldiers convicted in Ukraine plan to appeal their verdict. The two soldiers were sentenced to 14 years in prison. They were found guilty on charges of taking part in an aggressive war, being involved in a terrorist organization, and orchestrating a terrorist act that led to a death of a person. Both Yerofeyev and Alexandrov were detained in the Luhansk region. The court said there was enough evidence to prove they were active soldiers of the Russian armed forces.
Russia shows no desire to return the occupied territories back to Kyiv. Moscow continues to increase its influence in Donbas. This is reported by the PACE representatives who recently visited Ukraine. They claim the Kremlin has created five ministries to control the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. And the constant ceasefire violations make any elections there impossible. The rapporteurs called Russia's actions in Donbas a hybrid annexation.
OSCE says freedom of speech and press in Crimea is under severe threat. The organization slams local self-proclaimed authorities for intimidating journalists covering the life on the peninsula. On Tuesday, the Crimean so-called prosecutor, Natalia Poklonska, said that a journalist from Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is being investigated for threatening territorial integrity of the Russian Federation. OSCE officials demand the Russian authorities to stop the practice of silencing the media.
Ankara welcomes Ukrainian citizens with Turkish roots who live in the conflict areas of Donbas. The government has initiated this program to help its people who suffer from military action. This is not the first war for some of these people. Yıldız Basatova fled to Ukraine from Uzbekistan after ethnic conflict between local citizens and Turks in 1989. She took refuge in the Donetsk region. Now the woman is forced to move again.
There was a massacre in Uzbekistan. We fled. Ukraine welcomed us, helped us, and now we have to run away again.
In Ukraine, Yıldız gave birth to 4 kids. Now she has 10 grandchildren. The family didn't leave their home even when the bombs were falling.
We didn't want to leave. We didn't. But Turkey is our home, our motherland, and our kids will be better off there.
Around 3,000 people are expected to return to their historic homeland. These are mainly big families with grandparents and grandchildren. Turkey has built a small campus in the country's east to welcome the new arrivals. Ankara officials have also visited the conflict zone to see them through the migration procedure. These people will have preferences when they will look for a job. We will discuss the citizenship for them later, but right now we will give them permissions for residency. Our constitution allows us to resolve this situation. Turkey promises to support the families financially. They are allowed not to pay for their houses in the next 5 years. After that, they are expected to assimilate and become the rightful citizens of their country. Refugees say they have big hopes for the future, but they will never forget Ukraine.
Craig Lang recently received a Ukrainian military ID and is currently fighting within the Georgian Legion in the Donbas region. He explained to Ukraine Today's correspondent Andrei Sapilienko his experience fighting the Russian-backed separatist forces.
How are they trained, well or not well? How are they motivated and organized?
Their training is very lacking. A lot of what they're just using is just massing numbers. That's what I've just seen off of my personal account. Everybody you talk to is going to give you a different opinion of how to fight them, how to go about doing things. You know, there's a million ways to do this.
Tell me, please, about your reason to join Ukraine.
I came to Ukraine to come and help the Ukrainian people. I wanted to go about doing it a legal way that I can help Ukraine. So I decided to join the Ukrainian army. I linked up with members of the Georgian Legion and we came here.
Why Georgian Legion? Why not?
Georgian Legion? One would be the camaraderie. Another one would be the fact that this unit's highly trained. Everyone in this unit has multiple qualifications. You're around people who have the same knowledge or more knowledge and more skill sets than yourself. It gives you multiple opportunities. You're able to do more, you're able to accomplish more and get the job done at a faster rate.
What are you going to do after the war is finished?
My hope is to continue serving in the Ukrainian Armed Forces, to later on go on into the Defense Ministry. Hopefully, once I become more proficient in Russian and Ukrainian, to go on into the Defense Ministry as an instructor, sort of as we make a shift towards more of a NATO army to help sort of facilitate, this is how we did things in my army, this is how we do things in the Ukraine army, let's try to come to a common ground.
Ternopil, a city in western Ukraine, is now home to the first ever gadget tree in the country. The metal tree is made out of solar panels. This allows people to charge their mobile phones while on a stroll in the city center. The solar panel tree charges the gadgets at any hour of the day, of course depending on how much sunshine there is during the week. The first ever kite festival opened in Ukraine this week. Kamianets Podilsky hosted the fair for all the wind enthusiasts out there. There was no shortage of spectators. Among them, many children had the opportunity to fly a kite during the festival.
Charity run in Ukraine. 7,000 people from 43 countries participated in half marathon in Kyiv. Among them were kids, grown-ups and even pensioners. The purpose of the event was to raise money to help sick children. The marathon started early in the morning. There were no special rules and no limits. Everyone willing to participate could participate. Ulyana completed 2 km distance, all that in a wheelchair. She even managed to outrun some other contestants. The woman says she decided to take part in the tournament for herself and for children.
What's the most important? That today we supported kids and that you see a lot of people who are involved in charity. I believe it is really great.
One of Ulyana's competitors is the mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko. He says such races are a big part of his life. He used to go for a run when he was a boxer. Now he does it just for fun. By participating in the charity half marathon, Klitschko wants to engage other people in sports activity. I like to see that lots of people decided to join us. Please, I welcome everybody. It's really not difficult at all, and it's good for your body. This is the 6th half marathon that takes place in Kyiv. Organizers prepared for the contestants 13 different routes. The longest one is about 21 kilometers. Participants say running is a great way to get rid of stress.
Why I decided to run is to distract myself from what's going on in Ukraine, from the 2 very difficult years the country has lived through.
Organizers say they will use the donations to buy medical equipment for a children's hospital. They managed to raise around $4,000 during the last month.
A chocolate treat for the masses. In celebration of upcoming Easter, the chocolatiers in the western city of Uzhhorod created a special Pisan cup. The egg is made out of more than 17 kilos of dark and 3 kilograms of white chocolate. And some cannot wait for the holiday to come soon enough. Visitors claim they need to truly test whether the pisanka is made out of chocolate.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv.
Прялаб як у дільницю, голова болить. Пішла вже я похмеліла, хміли не біліть.
Ой, гого, папа, та ви горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, гого, папа, та ви горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака.
Поїхав мій милий у далекий степ, а я долю поділицю об земельку гріб. Ліца поваляся, а я пойду на весілля прогуляся.
Ой, гого, папа, кажуть, горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака. Ой, гого, папа, кажуть, горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака.
Неділя, воскресний день, а я п'яна, понеділок на похмілля пролежала. Та й напряла, у середу 3 клубочки намотала.
Ой, гого, папа, каже, горе не біда, може, горе не біда, моя доля отака.
Та й понесла міленькому, показала, він побачив будильницю, та й заплакав.
Ой, горе, ой, гого, папа.
Не прям. ради, моя мила, не нудися. Прийди весь на святе літо, приберися. Hey! Горе, горе, папа, ради, горе, не біда. Горе, горе, не біда, моя доля така. Горе, горе, папа, ради, горе, не біда. Горе, горе, не біда, моя доля така. Та по-русски славне зілля лопошочу. Та по-шиєм тобі, мила, партошочу. Всі цей попові, да об'їли партушу, що було похоже.
Ой, горе!
Ой, горе, папа, каже, горе, не біда. Може, горе, не біда, моя доля така. Ой, горе, папа, каже, горе, не біда. Може, горе, не біда, моя доля така. Пішла, миленька моя, слободою, дай прикрила свої литки лопадою.
And a traditional Ukrainian folk song there, and it is a story about a young woman telling her beloved that if he's got a headache today, it might have something to do with the choices he made last night. Aired on TV Ontario program The Agenda with Steve Paikin, February 2nd, 2016. Steve Paikin poses 10 questions on Ukraine to Yale University historian Dr. Timothy Snyder, who tells us in a few minutes everything you need to know about the conflict in Ukraine.
2 years ago, conflict gripped Ukraine from within and without, as domestic opposition deposed the president and Russia occupied Crimea. For some new perspective on those events, we welcome, from New Haven, Connecticut, Timothy Snyder. He's professor of Central European History at Yale University. He joins us now for 10 questions on Ukraine. Okay, Professor Snyder, question one. Why have you become such a strong defender of Ukraine in its conflict with Russia?
I don't like it when there's too much lying. And the beginning of the events in Ukraine, which we're describing, that is the protests in favor of moving closer to the European Union, which are at the start of all of this, the violent response of the government, the dictatorship laws of the government of February 2014, then Russia's invasion of Crimea. These events were happening on a scale that I could understand because I knew people who were present in Kyiv during the protests. I knew people who were out in the East. And also I know the language, which is fairly unusual, and I traveled to the place. Those seem like simple things, but almost no one who comments on Ukraine, who's not Ukrainian, knows the Ukrainian language. And I don't mean to mention people by names, but basically everybody who comments on these things in North America does not go to Ukraine, which I think is a big problem.
Having said that, question two, you have said the Ukrainian revolution has been misunderstood and betrayed. How so?
The fundamental thing that happened in Ukraine is that more than a million people mobilized, overcame government violence in order to do a very simple thing, in order for their government to sign agreements with the European Union, which they hoped would make normal middle-class rule of law existence possible. This was a revolution, and it was a revolution which probably should have enjoyed a lot more sympathy than it did enjoy on behalf of people who were in favor of middle-class existence, the rule of law, and things like this. For a lot of reasons having to do with ignorance and narcissism, as well as propaganda, we've characterized it in other ways. Now, even if you don't care about the Ukrainians, you might care about world order and about the European order. And the Russian idea, or Putin's idea, that it's legitimate to invade countries, violate international borders, violate very important agreements from the UN Foundation Charter all the way through the Budapest Memorandum and basically every treaty signed between Ukraine and Russia, the idea that law doesn't matter and borders don't matter is a very dangerous idea for all of Europe and for the Western order as such. So even if you don't care about Ukraine, paying attention to the Ukrainian state is probably something that makes sense.
Question three. Vladimir Putin claims that the Maidan Revolution of 2013 was essentially a U.S.-backed putsch against the legitimate rule of President Yanukovych. What do you say to that?
There is no evidence of that whatsoever, and anyone who spent time among those people or who knew those people would remember something which is very close to the contrary. While those protests were going on, which remember had the very simple goal of moving Ukraine closer to the European Union, the anti-Americanism was stronger from day to day on the streets. Why? Because the United States wasn't doing anything to support people who were risking their lives in the name of the rule of law. It was only after Russia invades, that the Ukrainians have to accept the Americans, basically faute de mieux. The Americans and the Europeans are against Russia intervening in Ukraine, and so de facto they become allies after the Russian invasion.
Question four, the Russians also say that there were fascist organizations such as Svoboda and Right Sector that played a role in all of this. Are they right about that?
The right in Ukraine, according to electoral results and sociological polling, has less resonance than in any major European country, including the democracies where this kind of idea of criticizing Ukraine is so popular. So it's much less important than in Belgium, the Netherlands, France. Anywhere you care to go, right-wing populism is more important than it is in Ukraine.
Question five. Is the Russian-speaking East and the Ukrainian-speaking West reflective of the political division between pro-Russian and pro-European policies in Ukraine?
No. I mean, Ukraine has regional political differentiation like the United States, actually much like the United States, like Italy, like Canada, but not more so. And it's simply not the case that language predicts where people stand politically. I would turn the question around and point out that Ukraine is actually a bilingual polity. This is something that Americans and Russians have trouble understanding because we are not bilingual polities. Ukraine is much more than I think even Belgium or Switzerland or Canada. Which means that, for example, Ukrainian-speaking soldiers from the West don't have any trouble speaking Russian when they go to the East. It means that protesters who stood up on the stage and gave a speech in Ukrainian might go back and ask their friends how it went in Russian. So you can't divide the country into a Russian-speaking half and a Ukrainian-speaking half because it's a bilingual country.
Question six. How would you characterize the current state of affairs between Russia and Ukraine?
The initial hope seems to have been that with Russian intervention, the Ukrainian state would just collapse and there would be lots of popular support for Ukraine, for Russia, sorry. That didn't happen. The Ukrainian state has big problems, but it did not collapse. And the Russian intervention actually flipped Ukrainian public opinion against Russia. So what Russia seems to be doing now, this could change. What seems to be doing now is hunkering down and trying to make the parts of Luhansk and Donetsk Oblast that they control classic sort of frozen conflict, failed state-type territories, so the West will say, well, we can't do anything with Ukraine because they have this territory occupied by Russia. That's, of course, fallacious, right? You can have Ukraine moving towards the West even if some of it's under Russian control. After all, the whole European project, the whole project of NATO, begins with Germany, which was divided at the time that it began. So there's no reason why, in fact, it's very important that reforms continue on the territory of Ukraine, which is controlled by the government in Kiev, the legitimate democratic government in Kiev.
Question seven is about corruption. The Corruption Perception Index ranks Ukraine 142nd. Out of 175 countries in the world, Russia is not much better. It's at 136. But let's ask about Ukraine. Why is it still so corrupt?
This is the key question, okay? The reason why people go out on the Maidan and risk their lives is not that they don't like Russia. It's not that they like America. It is that they want corruption to stop so they can have normal lives where their children can do better than they are doing. That is what they want. It's very much a middle class type revolution at its heart. The Ukrainian, the Maidan's answer to that question is, let's get closer to Europe because the Europeans have shown that there's a template, there's a model for rule of law states. You can answer the question of corruption in a different way, and that's the Russian way. You can say the answer to corruption is to have one main corrupt person at the center, have him break all the other oligarchs and impose a certain kind of order. And what we're seeing now is a competition between those two ideas.
Question eight. Do you imagine in the next 25 years, let's say, that Ukraine will return to being a single unified state?
I think it's important not to make things too contingent upon that, whether you're a Ukrainian or whether you're a European. The important issue is, can Ukraine carry out fundamental reforms supporting the rule of law on the vast majority of the country which it currently controls? If it does that, I think the other territorial questions will solve themselves, because then Ukraine will be so much more attractive than a Russian Crimea or a Russian-dominated southeast. It's important to remember that the vast majority of the country is under the control of the central government. I think that's the real question. Can that part be reformed? If so, I think everything else will sort itself out.
Okay, but humor me then for question nine. Do you imagine that Crimea will be returned to Ukraine someday?
I wouldn't want to predict one way or the other, but I would stress that it is legally part of Ukraine now. There is no one essentially in the world who recognizes invasion and unilateral annexation as a legitimate way to take territory. This is the only time this has happened in Europe since the Second World War. I think, though, that it's the kind of thing which will result from, as we said before, basic changes in Ukraine and basic changes in Russia. It will take a Russian regime which has a different idea of its own interests than the current regime.
Question 10. Let's finish up with this. This was a very big story for a very long time, seizing much of the world's attention. It is not anymore. Do you feel increasingly alone in your support for Ukraine?
No, I don't. But if you're asking me personally, no, I don't feel alone. I mean, I feel wonderfully surrounded by lots of extremely interested Ukrainians and Russians, for that matter, who share my views and support them. And trying to get things right, you make the right kinds of friends. So no, not at all.
Timothy Snyder from Yale University, thanks for answering our 10 questions about Ukraine. Good night.
My pleasure.
And you've been listening to Dr. Timothy Snyder with Steve Paikin on The Agenda, which airs on TV Ontario. Visit their YouTube channel to see this and other TVO features. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Oh,
має, хай навчає.
Song by a Polish group called Horpina, and that was Jechali Kozacy, which means there went the Cossacks, or Cossacks went riding. But it actually is a song about a girl named Halia and a terrible fate that befell her when she got in the clutches of two very bad Kozacy. And it might be a true story, or it might be just a legend, or one of those morality tales to warn young girls about the company they keep. Horpina with Jechali Kozacy. The song is also known as Highway to Hell. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world, right here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can find links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos and Twitter on Twitter, rather, and please like our Facebook page and check out our blog. На жаль, ми скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Так, як вода потрібна землі, так і розум голові. And our proverb of the week translates as, a head needs intelligence like the earth needs water. Well, that about brings us to the end of our program. So to take us to the end, the By Request Band from Steinbach, Manitoba, and the Kerosene Polka. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie, Polkadinska Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.